Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. That all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful to be able to come before you this evening, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would just feed us from your word this evening, Father. May the things that we say, Father, be edifying to the body. Lord, we pray, Lord, that anything shouldn't be said, Father, be you close our mouth, Father, to anything that should be said, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would just help us this evening. Pray with you, be with each member that's here this evening, Father, that you may speak to our hearts as our hearts desire. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'll read Ephesians 4, 3 through 13 just before we're seated, and my text tonight is to say and to do. Ephesians 4, 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and there is one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he is ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he's ascended, what is it, but that we also descend first, he descend first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and he gave some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. I was praying about what I would say, and this actually happened quite a while back. The Lord was speaking to me, and he said, what does the word say mean? We talk about Brother Branham and his message to us, but what does say mean to us? Hear the body of Christ that's left, how important it is to say only what he said, and also once you say it, move into what he said and do it. So this evening I'm going to read you a few quotes that God has placed on my heart, and I pray that it's a blessing to you. Revelations 22:6-15, and he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord of God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things, and I heard them. And when I had heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he saith unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and make a lie. I, Jesus, have set mine angel to testify unto you these things in the church. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth come, And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Notice there in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. So we're focusing on the word tonight, say, and of those doers. Amen? All right. This is just from the Webster's Dictionary, but I think that it's very fitting to... God's words are not just said for happenstance. Every single thing has a meaning, and that's what I want to focus on the word say tonight. It means to express in words, to state. To state as opinion or belief, to declare. And I'd even say that it's declare that he is here with us. Amen? Yeah. To utter, to pronounce his doxa, his values, and his judgments. To recite, to repeat, to say your prayers. Number three, to indicate, to show. The clock says 5 minutes after 12. To give expression to communicate, to suppose, to assume. Let's say you're right. In a noun pronoun, in a noun situation, an expression of opinion, had my say. A right of power to influence action or decision, especially the authority to make the final decision. Something that is said is a statement. About approximately the property is worth, say, $4 million. Now these are pronouns. For example, as if we compress any gas, say oxygen. So the purpose of reading this is really in the beginning up here, to express in words. So our job is to say only what the Father has already said, and that was using his prophet. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of people want to do away with the fivefold ministry. It is here until the fullness, well, I'll have to go back and read it, of the Son of God.
Amen.
Okay, we're not there yet. We're getting close. We're getting really close. Philippians 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if they be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. The words say, now this is from the Church Age book. I really can't say it any better than what Brother Vell and Brother Branham put together. Amen. Now comes our triumphal capstone on the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There it is. Jesus Christ came forth, died upon the cross, and accomplished redemption, restoring to the original owner by means of purchase or paying the price, and thereby placing us as sons. He did not make us sons, for we were already his sons. But he placed us as sons, for as long as we were in the world, in flesh, we could not be reconciled with his sons. We here held captive by the devil, but we were sons nonetheless. And hear this, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, whereby you cry, Father, Father. Upon whom did the Spirit fall at Pentecost? That's a question. Sons at Corinth, upon the sons while they heard the word of God. It comes by hearing. Amen. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. It is the new birth. It is the Spirit of God coming in and filling you after you have repented, having heard his word and been baptized in water as an answer of a good conscience toward God. What we have set forth would be much easier for all to understand if we all believe the doctrine of the oneness of the Godhead. For there are not three persons in the Godhead, but one. Thus we are not born again by the Spirit of life of Jesus coming in, then we subsequent to the Holy Spirit coming in to give us power. If that were true, why were we dishonoring the Father by not giving him a part in our complete salvation? For in salvation is of the Lord, and there are three lords. Then he, Father, must have something to do, too. But surely if it can be seen that the Father made this very clear, that it was he and he alone who is God, and it is he and he alone who is coming into the believer. John 14:16 says that the Father will send another Comforter. But verse 17 says he, Jesus, dwelt with them and should be in them later. In the verse 18, he says he will come into them. In verse 23, in speaking to the disciples, he said, we, Father and Son, will come unto him. Thus, it is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all coming in at one time, for it is one person, comprising the Godhead. That advent took place at Pentecost. There aren't two comings of the Spirit, just one. The trouble is that people don't know the real truth, and they simply believe in Jesus' remission of sins, but never go on to receive the Spirit. But before I close this subject, I know there is a question in your minds. You will want to know if I believe in the doctrine of preexistence. I do not believe in Mormon doctrine of preexistence of souls any more than I believe in reincarnation or the transmigration of souls. Be careful here and see this. It is not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It is the Word. Amen. We were part of him in the beginning, and God's Word is the only thing that's eternal. So if we have a prayer of being there, we had better been a part of him then. It is the Word or the seed. That is it. Way back there, too far back for human mind to even grasp. The eternal God with eternal thoughts, thought and decreed. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9:13, and neither was born and neither had done good or evil. See, it was the thought. And then that thought become expressed. And God bought back Jacob, because Jacob alone was seed. Jacob alone had the seed. That is why he had respect to the birthright and the covenant of God. If you are a true seed, you will hear that word. The Spirit will baptize you into the body of Christ, filling you and empowering you, and you will receive the word for your day and age. See how clear the true evidence becomes when the word is revealed to you. Again, note, Jesus was the royal seed. He lived in a human body. When the Spirit called to him, the word manifested thought. He went to Jordan and was baptized in water, and upon obeying the word, the Holy Spirit came up upon him, and the voice said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. The voice did not say, this has become my Son. Jesus was the Son. The Holy Ghost positioned him as the Son before them all. Then, having been filled thus, and the same pattern holds at Pentecost and ever after, he went in, demonstrated power, receiving the full revelation of God and from God from that day. Now, we have been constantly saying that the true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost is for the believer to receive the word for their age in which he lives. Let me show you most clearly the seven ages as set forth in Revelations chapter 2 and 3. Take it in the whole span of the fullness of the Gentiles, or the whole time in which God is dealing with the Gentiles unto salvation. in every single age, bare or none, it says the very same thing in the opening and closing the message to each age, unto the messenger of Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardia, and the Philadelphia and Laodicea church, write, these things saith he, etc., etc. He that hath an ear, let him, singular, hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Notice here that Jesus, by the Spirit, in every age, addresses himself to only one person relative to the word for that age. Only one messenger for each age receives what the Spirit has to say to that age, and that one messenger is the messenger to the true church. He speaks for God by revelation to the churches, both true and false. The message is then broadcast to all, but though it is broadcast for all who come within range of the message, that message is received individually by only a certain qualified group in a certain way. Each individual of that group is one who has the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying by way of the messenger. Those who hear are not getting their own private revelation, nor is a group getting their collective revelation, but each person is hearing and receiving what the messenger has already received from God. Now think it not strange that this is the case, for Paul set this pattern under the hand of God. Paul alone had the full revelation for his day, as evidenced by his confrontation of the other apostles who admitted that Paul was the prophet messenger to the Gentiles for that day. And also note by actual illustration in the word that when Paul desired to go to Asia, God forbade him. For the sheep, his children, were in Macedonia, and they, the Macedonians, would hear what the Spirit had to say through Paul, while the people in Asia would not. In every age, we have exactly the same pattern. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, and then from that messenger there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out do not always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that these things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? They add here and take away there, and as soon the message is no longer pure, the revelation dies down. The revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice. For the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had been given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by way of his messengers, and then say what he has been given them to say to the churches. I hope you are beginning to see it now. Perhaps you can understand now why I don't hold with the fundamentalists and the Pentecostals. I have to hold to the word by the way the Lord revealed it. Now, I did not cover it all. That would take a separate book. But by the help of the Lord, we will get many sermons and tapes and messages on all of these points to help you understand and dovetail all Scripture. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches of each age. In every age, it was the same cry, hear what the Spirit says. If you are a Christian, you will get back to what the Spirit is teaching. That's it. That is the word of this age. Every messenger to every age will preach that word. Every fresh and true revival will be because men have gotten back to the word for their age. The cry of every age is the rebuke. You have left the word of God. Repent and come back to the word. For the first book in the Bible, Genesis, to the last book, Revelations, there is only one reason for God's displeasure leaving the word. And there is only one remedy to regain his favor, and that is back to the Word. And that's from the Samaria Church Age. Matthew 23. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not." That's a good old classic saying, "Do as I say and not as I do." That's a bunch of hogwash and low speaking words. Amen? You live an example by the words that you say and the words that you do. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That's Nicolaitism. It's a binding. Like I said the last Sunday, anything that's said that produces a binding, that produces fear, is not of God. It doesn't matter if you quote it exactly the same way. That's why we're talking about the word say. You have to say what the prophet messenger said exactly the way he said it. It's very easy for us in this day because we have it all in print. We even have it on voice. There's no reason that ministers can't say exactly what needs to be said. But many of them don't. They want to twist. They want to move around. They want to make things fit their organization. And that is 100% false. But all their works they do be seen by men as a show. They take their phylacteries. Yeah, very good. Thank you, Brian. Broad and enlarged. And to enlarge their garments. Amen? Kind of fat guys, right? They just sit around, they take, you know, what they is not rightfully theirs, and they defile the house of God. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and they just want to be, they hear their name, minister, rabbi, you know, those things. Just all a show. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Yeah. God is not a respecter of persons. Amen. Do not call anyone on earth Father, for one is your Father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, and that is Christ. Amen. But he who is the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For neither go ye in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Amen? Brian knows this all too well. No, anyone in their right mind would never desire to be a minister. It is a lonely life. You have to push yourself as far as God will let you to allow the people that you're shepherding to go beyond. If you stop, become stagnant and stale, you are responsible, just as the Pharisees were, to not allow God's people to progress and be in that perfection that they need to be in, that when he would return, he would find his bride worthy. Amen? Amen. The definition of a doer, one that takes an active part, a thinker or a doer. The Bible talks a lot about thinking, but that's where it starts. It enters here, but if it stays and it doesn't fall down into the heart, no one around you will see what God has given you. There's no light. There's no light. It's under a bushel. It can't stay here. It has to come out here. You have to say. In Revelations, it talks about the bride and Christ will say, come. Say. Not think. Not none of that. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. One little bitty word. And the God of peace shall be with you. How is the peace going to be with you? Only if you do. God wants doers, not just sayers. Amen? But it starts that way. There's a process. James 2, 17 through 24. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou have faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. You say you have faith, but there has to be works to back it up. We don't major on works. We know that's, you know, you can work yourself up into anything. You can work yourself up into speaking in tongues. You can push yourself into a place that God is not calling you to be in. You don't want to do that. You just want God, die to yourself, let him take over, and he will do the works for you. Amen? We're exactly the same as Jesus, because we're sons. Yes. Yeah. We do nothing unless we see it done. You know, he didn't do anything that he didn't see his father do. It's the exact same for us. We don't even do the works. We're just there when he does it. Yeah. Amen? That's how real it has to be. Amen? Thou hast not denied my faith. In Acts 3:16, when Peter was asked how the mighty miracle had taken place upon the crippled one at the gate Beautiful, he explained it on this wise. And his Jesus name, through faith in his Jesus name, hath made this man, former cripple, strong. Yea, the faith which is by from him, Jesus, hath given him, the man, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See, there it is. Jesus' name and Jesus' faith brought about the miracle. Peter did not claim it was his own human faith any more than he claimed that it was his own name. He said that Jesus' name used in the faith which is from Jesus performed the great work. This faith is what the Lord was speaking about in Revelation 2:13. It was his faith. It was not faith in him, but it was his own faith that he had given to the believers. Romans 12:3. According as God hath dealt to every man, according to the verse 1, the men are brethren, the measure of faith. Ephesians 2:8. By grace are you saved through faith, and that faith not of yourself, it is a gift of God. And it also says in James 2:1, my brethren, notice he too is talking about the brethren, have not faith of not in our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. Amen. They were asking Paul, you know, or is that right, Paul? Yes. You know, how did the miracle happen? Was it you? We have nothing to do with it. We just are simple vessels to his glory. Amen. In this Pergamian age, where men have humanized salvation, having turned from the truth that salvation is of the Lord, having cast aside the doctrine of election, and opened wide the church door and their fellowship to any and all who would subscribe to their tents, never mind the word. In this age of rapid degradation, there were still a few who had the measure of faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not only used that faith in acts of power, but withstood those who dared to say that they were saved simply of the grounds of joining a church. They knew that no man could truly believe unto eternal life and the righteousness of God apart from the measure of the faith of the Lord Jesus himself. As today's church is filled with mental believers who endorse the virgin birth, the shed blood, going to church, taking communion, and are not reborn at all. Even so, in that third age was the same problem. Human faith wasn't enough then, and it isn't enough now. It takes the very faith of the Son of God to drop into a man's heart so that he can receive the Lord of glory into the temple not made with hands. This was a living faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Paul did not say that he lived by faith in the Son of God. It was the faith of the Son of God that he had given himself and kept him living in Christian victory. They did not deny that the salvation was supernatural from the start to finish. They kept alive the truth of his name and his faith, and they were blessed by the Lord and accounted worthy of him. Amen. That's from the Pergamian Age again. Now notice why he did it. Listen. Why did he do it? Listen at him when he addresses him, Rabbi, teacher. We know that we who the Pharisees, the religious of the world, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Why? Because you got a degree? No. Because you speak so eloquent? No. Because that you are an educated man? Nope. Because you belong to a certain denomination? Nope. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. Why? Because no man can do these things that you do except God was with him. There you are. No. Not no man could teach the things that you do. No man could teach the theology you do. Not no man that could do these things or teach the Bible like you do, but no man could do the works that you do. There's one thing to teach somethings. There's one thing to teach somethings. There's another thing for God to confirm it and to say it's true. There's one thing to say something. It's another thing to do something. It's not hearers, it's doers. Show me faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith, said Paul, by my works. If you believe it, you'll act upon it. That's it. When your faith becomes works and God can do with you, then we know that you're a teacher come from God, we Pharisees. Well, why don't you come and join with me then? Why don't you believe me? Well, of course, we have regulation, and our regulation is of a tradition of the elders, which says if you don't belong to the Sanhedrin or the denomination here at Jerusalem, why, we'll all be excommunicated. And therefore, we can't accept it, and yet was willing to admit that no man could do the things that he did except God be with him. Why? God is proving his gospel. God's always did it. Now, my clergy brethren and Sunday school teachers, let us reason for a minute. Did you know religion is one thing and salvation is another? Did you know it come up from Genesis? Do you realize that Cain was a religious man, just as religious as Abel was? He came before the Lord. He realized that he was a mortal. He had to die, and he built an altar unto the Lord, a church. He brought in and made sacrifice to the Lord. He paid his tithes and his offerings, as it were, to the Lord. And besides that, he knelt down and he worshiped the Lord. So if belonging to a church or supporting the church or bringing in your tithes and offerings and kneeling down and worshiping is all that God required a man to do, then he would be unjust to condemn Cain. because Cain done every bit of the religion that Abel did. But the only way that Abel was just, it was a spiritual revelation, that it wasn't by works, it was by faith. Now him that worketh, not him that worketh, but him that believeth. And not apples and peaches and pears or fruits of the land that brought us out of the Garden of Eden, but it was the blood. And Jesus vindicated the same thing when he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Simon Peter. When he confessed to him to be the Lord, flesh, you never learned this in a seminary. You never learned this from some church. But my Father which is in heaven hath revealed it to you, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Supernatural revelation, supernatural revealed truth of the living God. When God has revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, not by theology, not by mental thinking, but by the actual birth of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, and you have eternal life. That's the revelation. I wish we had time to bring it through the Bible. And that's from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1, 19 through 25. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness of God that he desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and to humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your soul. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Amen. That's not the King James Version, so if you're wondering, it's on expounded. I forgot to put that in there. But it sounds good. That's what Brother Branham was trying to get across. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for every gracious word that's written in this Bible. Seeing that we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witness, 2.5 million people died, yea, perishing in the wilderness of unbelief, and only two that believed was permitted to go over. Father God, I pray that you help us to see that and to look to what it means. Let us not be disbelievers in thy word, but may we be not only hearers, but doers of the word. Grant it, Lord. And that's from Abraham's Grace Covenant. And that is the end of the message there. I would like to make a few comments on this last deal. You must do what it says. You must say. It starts by entering your mind once you hear it. Then you say it. By saying it, you are creating the exact thing that God did at the beginning of the earth. It was a thought. He spoke it. If the bride doesn't speak the word, doesn't say the word. And that doesn't mean like you're going out to get people saved. That's good. You should testify. Your life should be a gospel to all men. That they would even ask you, like, what's different, you know? But they're, we are epistles read and known of all men. But there's the process. Brother Branham lays it out perfectly. In the mind, you heard it. You say it. When you say it, God is obligated to create that life, if it's of him. And if you say only what he said through the end time message that we have to us, Paul, their group, they said it, they followed exactly. Each age, they all had the Holy Ghost. In part, we have everything here at the end. Amen? So I pray that's a blessing to your heart. Let us go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful for your word to us, Father. I pray, Lord, that we say and do your word, Father, amongst the people that are around us, Father, that you may truly just bring a presence, Father, that they would ask and be able to know you, Father. We never know who we may run into, Lord. That person that may be talking to may be the last seed that needs to come in so we could go home. Father, that's our heart's desire, is just to be in your perfect will, Father, to be able to hear you when you speak to us, to be able to act, Lord, to be able to read your word with revelation, Father, to be able to speak your word, Father, to those that are around us. Life, healing, slow to anger, Father, not judgmental. Father, we pray, Lord, that the Spirit of Christ would be upon your bride this evening. Father, Lord, that when the time comes, we would say, come, Father, and this whole life would be over, Father, and we'd be raptured out of here. Lord, we pray, Lord, now as we change the order of service this evening, Father, that you may once again speak to our hearts as we obey your commandments, Father, and partaking in the bread and then the foot washing this evening. Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can leave the feed going until I'm done with the scripture, and then we'll go ahead and shut it off. Brother Josh, if you would help Brother Peter, you guys can go ahead and get the elements ready. And I didn't do a count. So let me see here. You counted. Thank you. St. John 13, 2 through 17. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and lay aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, thou dost wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do, that do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answering him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are all clean. Ye are clean, but not all. For we know that who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Amen.